Do you like horror movies? Do you like cocktails? Do you like cocktails while you watch horror movies?
Oh boy, do we have a surprise for you. Cocktails from the Crypt is finally here. You can get a copy of our new recipe book, 60 Terrifying Concoctions, inspired by your favorite horror movies, right now, wherever books are sold.
Learn how to make the Drag Mai Tai to Hell, the Negroni Nomicon.
Surprise your friends with a Jason X-inspired slushie.
Get sloshed drinking a Texas Chainsaw Margarita, or six.
And why not blow your brains at the back of your head with the Killbot Kamikaze? Thank you. Have a nice day.
You can learn how to drink. You can learn how to make these drinks and more in Cocktails from the Crypt, available wherever books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, this infomercial bit has been really fun, but seriously, one, thank you so much to everybody who has pre-ordered a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. And if you are looking for a gift for the horror person in your life and you have no idea what else to get them, Cocktails from the Crypt is here to help them punch up every Friday movie night and turn it into a graveyard smash.
Plus, the cover's embossed and it looks great on your coffee table.
No, oh, Kim's still stuck in infomercial land, guys. I'm sorry. I think she's gone forever.
It's purple.
You can get Cocktails from the Crypt right now, wherever books are sold. Or you can head over to nofspodcast.com/go. There's links for everything.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
And we are doing it. We are doing our best of 2024.
This is the one episode of the year where I feel like we should be wearing a suit and tie. You know, like we have like da-da-da, style music. Like, hello and welcome to the top 10 horror films of 2024. Like, I feel like this is the one we should be taking seriously. I'm in my fucking pajamas. Like, I'm more relaxed than I should be.
It's also the end of the year. It's near Christmas. Everybody's powering down.
Oh, right. Ready to clock out for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, nobody wants to do nothing. I had champagne with orange juice today and then a fucking nap.
That's right. And we're all bummed that Nosferatu hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, so this list has, mine at least, has a number one in there, but everything's getting bumped down one.
Okay.
We all know what's happening.
There's a 1A and a 1B.
I apologize to number 10. You're off the list.
It's a top 11 that we're doing this year, and one of them
number zero, Nosferatu.
Okay, I was going to say, one of them's a mystery movie, and who knows where it appears.
It's number zero.
So, 2024. This is always fun to do. I love doing this at the end of the year, because we don't really follow box office stuff for obvious reasons. Horror movies, not always the box office successes that get reported at the Hollywood deadline.
Unless you're Terrifier, because everybody's like high on Terrifier. They're like, oh, it only cost them $60,000 to make.
But it's
because it's got one guy and he doesn't even talk.
But it's not like that makes the top 10 of the year. Like, I think if we really want to get in there and do the math and go like, okay, budget and marketing, you know,
because it wasn't
the
Moana 8 or whatever.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, case in point, my number one movie did not make the top 100. It almost didn't make the top 200 box office results of the year worldwide.
You contrarian.
I stand by it. I think it's incredible. We'll get to it later.
I think we had the same number one this year.
I think you're probably right. So I was curious if you wanted to give a stab at guessing what some of the top 10 movies of the year were. Because if there's one person who pays less attention to box office reports than me, it's Kim.
What movies came out this year?
That's the problem, right?
Is like, Wicked on there?
Wicked's actually already on there. It's at the time of recording, that movie's been out for a couple days, maybe a week at this point. It's number 7.
Okay, so I have the memory of a fish, so I'm going to be like, Gladiator 2?
Oh, sorry. Okay, looking at the worldwide box office, Wicked's not on there yet.
Yet.
It's not. I think it's number 7.
They've
on
sold
domestic.
Enough popcorn buckets. They'll get there.
Yeah. By the way, 2024 is also the year that saw the 55th movie to make $1 billion worldwide.
Wow.
Which is crazy. You guessed Gladiator 2?
Yeah.
Not in the top 10.
I was just going to say, though, 2024 is the year where you have to try to find a brand that didn't partner with Wicked on a merchandise deal.
Oh, yeah.
Wicked is everywhere.
It's made it very hard for Kim to find a new tumbler or a new travel mug. Everything's got a Wicked symbol on it.
I just want a dark green one for regular goth.
This really
not
sucks if
for,
you like, yeah.
Not for musical goth.
Yeah.
For regular goth.
If you like black and dark green, you're screwed.
Everything's got a fucking witch thing on it. And like, I like witches, but I'm not a big Wicked fan.
Okay, I'll give you a hint here, Kim. Number 10. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay, made. I'm sure there was a Planet of the Apes this year. That makes sense.
Of course, yeah, there was almost made $400 million. Bad Boys, Ride or Die made a little over $400 million.
Wasn't that a Netflix movie?
No, you're thinking of Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F.
Okay.
Take some stabs.
I don't know any other movies that came out this year. I live in a horror bubble, John.
Okay, fine, let's just run down it. Number 8. Beetlejuice.
Okay, yeah, that was a movie.
And we can basically stop there, I think. Number 7, Venom, The Last Dance, at 468. Beetlejuice made 450. Then we got Kung Fu Panda 4, Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire, Dune Part 2 is number 4, and then the top 3 are Despicable Me 4, Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Was that this year?
That actually wasn't too long ago. And then Inside Out number 2 was the top number 1 movie of the year.
Inside Out number 2 was number 1.
Yes.
Okay.
Inside Out 2 was number 1.
Oh.
Yeah, Inside Out 2 and Deadpool and Wolverine are the 54th and 55th movies to make $1 billion worldwide. And Despicable Me 4 almost made it. Almost made it.
I have seen 2 movies in the top 10.
Yeah. I think domestically Twisters made it into the top 10. So you've seen a couple. If it makes you feel better, Beetlejuice was number 4 domestically.
Ooh.
Yeah. And none of those movies we will be discussing on this week's episode of Nightmare on Film Street. So, Kim, do you want to... I'm gonna let you choose. Do you want to go first and set the stage for our top tens? Or do you want the last word?
Ooh.
A delicious choice.
I think I want to go first this year.
Okay.
Because I find years where I don't go first, I run out of things to say about the movie. It's still going to happen in case, like, if you have something ahead of me. But, yeah, I'm going to go first this year.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, so my number 11 pick. Yeah.
Oh, and we should also say that neither of us have told each other what our top 10s are.
We never do. No,
it's
way
more fun.
It's fun to reveal it live. It's fun to see how we rank things comparatively. We always have a few little outliers, so there's usually more than 10 movies on the list. We don't normally always double up.
Yeah.
So
the top 3 is always a little bit of a... little bit of a mirror of each other's. Also, we're working off a list that I made already. You know, I've just been throughout the year just throwing movies onto a list. Like, oh, here are some movies that I liked. And then I just hand it over to Kim. Like, hey, by the way, these are some movies you watched this year.
I need it. I told you. I'm a goldfish.
That's all right.
I don't even know what I had for breakfast today. Did I eat breakfast? Who knows? Okay, so number 10, this is kind of a, this is an interesting pick because one, we watched it during our crunch time. We always do this crunch time at kind of November, early December is our, okay, what have we not watched this year that came out this year in case it makes it on the list? And I always feel weird about putting it on the list because I'm worried if there's like a recency bias to it.
I mean, there might be.
Because I have a couple movies here that we watched in that crunch window.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But this one, as I was putting it on my list and I was just trying to get a little bit more information on it, I realized it may have come out in 2022.
Oh.
But I'm keeping it on the list because I also see that it was like kind of, you know, released to us English speaking folks this year.
Oh.
And it's, yeah. And it's also kind of the film's only being talked about kind of online this year.
Yeah.
And so I think it qualifies also because I saw it this year. So it counts as 2024 for me.
Well, if that's the case, I got some Alfred Hitchcock picks I want to put on the list as well.
You can put them in the discoveries of the year. This is at least a recent movie. So I'm going to go with the Spanish film, The Coffee Table. I heard about this on TikTok. It was one of those movies where everybody was like, you have to watch this fucked up movie.
This is kind of a fucked up TikTok challenge.
And it's just called The Coffee Table. And I won. The title alone intrigued me. And I was just totally on board. I'm like, I love a vague, super ominous title as innocuous as The Coffee Table. We didn't know anything going into it, and that's how I love going into movies, so oh, yeah. I'm not going to spoil it for you here.
Okay.
This is definitely one of those seek out movies, but it just goes there. It's not quite horror. It's more black comedy, but without the comedy. It's just black.
It's so uncomfortable, you can't help but
exactly.
Laugh.
It is just an exercise in cringe, but not even cringe, just ugh. That sickening feeling in the back of your throat when something has gone horribly wrong and cannot be undone.
Oh yeah, if horror is supposed to make you feel something, this movie makes you feel
something. That's why I'm putting it in the horror category.
I think this works.
It is horrendously dark.
Yeah, this might be a hard movie to watch with your parents.
Yeah, don't watch this with your family. This is not a Christmas break movie.
Unless you're cool, bust this out one. Bust this out on Christmas Day if you want.
You know, only watch this if you're of sound mind and body.
Yeah, this movie, I think, totally counts. Yeah, it maybe had some festival runs and had a previous release internationally.
Everywhere online, it's like 2022, and I'm like, ooh.
Well, it didn't. So this is a problem you will always run into when you're looking up movies, where like this hat, like,
especially
this
independent
at
films. Yeah, because they go through such a journey. Like, they'll play independently, and then if they get picked up for distribution, the distributor might not release it right away. They might put it through another year of festivals. So, this movie's had a bit of a long life, but people are just discovering it this year, as did I, and I think it's definitely one of the most impactful films I saw this year, and I saw it like 3 weeks ago, so I'm still thinking about it. It fucked me up.
Hey, if we're looking for arbitration, it was nominated and in contention for the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards this year.
Oh, well, so then it counts.
Totally counts.
Or was that last year?
No, you're fine.
Okay, because the Chainsaw Awards weird me out now. Are they for
last
year's
picks?
I
think this year was a little bit of a reset.
Was it a double year?
It's a little bit of an overlap in some sense because they're changing when they're hosting the awards. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit of a weird window. I think it counts. It's on the 2024 list. Great pick.
That's The Coffee Table. Just, we should do the titles multiple times so people don't have to rewind.
Spelling bee rules, yeah. Say it at the beginning, say it at the end.
T-H-E-C-O-F-F-E-E, Tabla.
My number 10 pick is an Australian movie that, similar to The Coffee Table, I think came out last year in the festival circuit.
Australian movie.
So if you look at it, it might say 2023, but it totally hit Shudder earlier this year. It's called You'll Never Find Me. This is a like single location movie, character driven, mostly dialogue. An incredible debut from two filmmakers who wrote and directed the movie. It's written and directed by Indiana Bell and Josiah Allen. The movie is basically just two characters spending a dark and stormy evening in a tiny trailer.
Yeah, it's the most fucked up stage play you've ever seen.
Oh, this would be an incredible play. Oh my God. And like, the real reason to watch it, and like what I love about it so much, is the sound design.
I was gonna say, the sound design is banging. Best storm I've ever heard.
Oh my God. Yeah, even beyond the storm, like, it's like, oh my God, it does sound like there are raindrops on top of a tin roof right now. But just the, like, how the atmosphere envelops you. There's a lot of suspicion and a lot of doom, and you don't get a read on these characters, how they relate to each other, who's in danger at any given time.
It's a cat and mouse where the cat and the mouse change a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, basically we've got a guy, sort of a hermit character, who's just having a sad evening in his sad little home, and somebody comes knocking on his door looking for a telephone. It's just some girl who's lost looking for her friends and waiting out the storm. And yeah, you don't necessarily know if she's come into the wrong trailer or if he has invited in something that he's going to regret. But like, the more that you spend time with these characters, the more you learn about them. It's got some incredible cinematography for being just in like this tiny little room. And rock solid performances from both of the leads. This was a much more subtle pick, a more psychological horror movie. But yeah, just astounding sound design in this one.
I'm so glad this made your list, because it's definitely in my honorable mention picks.
You'll never find me. Spelling Bee rules. Don't forget to do it.
Oh yeah. Okay, so my number 9. Maybe one of the bigger films on my list. One of the definitely saw a theatrical release.
Oh, I'm so glad you got Godzilla and Kong on here.
Everybody kind of saw this one. Everybody kind of vibed with it. And it's just a really fun horror movie. Perfect, like, theater experience. Everything you expect Friday night seeing a horror movie. That is Abigail.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Little girl vampire horror. Heist gone wrong. Like, how can you not love it?
Creepy Dan Stevens.
Creepy Dan Stevens. Probably not the only appearance of Dan Stevens on the top 10 list this year.
He's got a couple movies out this year. Yeah.
Yeah, Dan Stevens was, like, on fire this year.
Oh, killed it.
But, yeah, I really enjoyed Abigail. It had a fun cast of characters, you know, like a band of misfits who come together to do this heist. They find out they've heisted a little vampire girl, the daughter of Dracula.
Yep.
And she's a ballerina, and she fucks them up.
Don't you love a horror heist gone wrong? Especially when it's a vampire. Again, like, I'm only talking about Dracula 2000. Deep Rising's also another good pick, but yeah. Love a secret vampire movie.
I mean, it's not really a secret. We all kind of knew it was coming, but still really fun. I also just love when characters are stuck in, like, a big old mansion and they can't get out, and it's all kind of one location, but there's also, like, a lot of fun changes. Like, we're in the grand library, or we're in the nice bedroom, or we've got a jail cell that... Oh, it was an elevator they locked her in.
Yes.
But, yeah, really fun. Also, a really great little performance by Catherine Newton. She's not the star in this, but she's got a fun little, like, vampire moment that I thought was really great sequence this year.
Catherine Newton, that's the one from Freaky, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like one of the best scenes of the entire goddamn movie.
She is earning her horror movie cred. She is just staying in the genre, and I am loving her for it.
Yeah, you know, like, I think the cast of this movie was just like, okay, we only cast people who would be great if they were vampires. Maybe not all of them get turned into vampires, but every single criminal in this movie, if all of a sudden they had fangs, you'd be like, fuck yeah, he's a vampire. Let's go. Dan Stevens, great jerkwad vampire. You know? I always love a movie that's got like 100 gallons of blood in the finale. Good pick.
Yeah, so that's Abigail.
My number 9 pick, another wide release that I'm sure a lot of people have seen. A Quiet Place Day One.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
You really like pizza.
That's honestly, if that wasn't the arc of the movie, I don't think it would have resonated with me as much.
I really just wanted her to get that slice of pizza.
I just really like marionettes and I really like pizza. Yeah, pizza is the through line of this movie. A Quiet Place holding hard to that tradition of trying to make you sad. And from the director of Pig.
Pulling, like, on those post-apocalyptical heartstrings.
Yeah. Was there any chance that this movie wasn't going to try and rip your heart out of your chest? Knowing that it was from the same director as that Nicolas Cage movie Pig, which still destroys me now thinking about it. Great performances, obviously, from Lupita Nyong'o and the rest of the cast.
And the
and
other
a cat,
guy.
And a cat. And the other guy. But I love an alien invasion movie. That's always fun. Honestly, it's her character is the maybe like one of the biggest shining moments of this movie. We've got a character who's terminally ill with cancer and the world is ending, and what she chooses to do with her time becomes even more important. And everybody wants her to go to safety, and she's just like, nah, I want to go get a slice of pizza where my
dad
used
to play.
I love
apathy in the face of the end times.
Yeah. Isn't that always nice? Yeah, this was definitely like a great surprise theatrical release for me. I don't think I was really expecting to love it very much.
Yeah, I think you and I were just like, yeah, let's go see this.
Yeah, sure, why not?
We're both not huge fans of the Quiet Place universe. It was just a little like emotionally overwrought for us, and then the most emotionally overwrought one, we're like, I loved it. When she got the pizza, I was so happy for her.
A Quiet Place, day one.
This is pretty great. Our bottom half has been different.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go with a little Netflix film. So this is one that didn't have theatrical release, but, you know, like quietly landed on Netflix. We watched it after it had come out, and I was like, John, why didn't we review this movie? Why didn't we interview the director? Why didn't we do anything in relation to this film?
Because it came out in October, and we were very busy and very tired.
The movie is called It's What's Inside, and it's a bit of a, like, sci-fi-ish horror.
Oh, yeah.
What's so great about it is a body-swapping horror. It's like a, not a bachelor party, but, like, the bridal party's getting ready the night before the wedding, so it's kind of like the night before stuff. We have a gang of college friends who are all in a artsy McMansion, all takes place over one night, and then they're kind of black sheep of the group who's kind of lost contact with everybody, kind of shows up out of nowhere. He's got this suspicious looking briefcase, and he opens it up, and it's a body swapping machine.
So cool.
And they start playing this party game where they start swapping bodies with each other and trying to guess who's in whose body. And it is just a great feat in filmmaking.
Oh my God.
And all of the characters are playing different people in almost every scene.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how the actors did it.
Oh, man. I can just picture, like, the behind the scenes. The set is just a board with, like, a bunch of red yarn.
Oh, my God.
Trying to figure out who's who at what time. Like, I don't know how they filmed this.
They had to have their characters written on their hands, right? Okay, I am pretending to be this person right now.
It's so great and super complicated, but it's easy to follow as an audience member, even though you know you're just like, this is layers.
Yeah.
This is layers of filmmaking because characters start dying, but it's not the characters that are in the bodies that they're in. Like, it's a super complicated story, but very fun, super twisted, and very unique and just really well done. And
yes.
I was surprised that this movie kind of had as little fanfare as it did because I just thought it was a great little horror film.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that sort of just like quietly came out. I think the people who saw it were like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Netflix is almost, you know, like, whenever something cool and interesting comes out, I want it to have like life theatrically. But I had heard some pretty good arguments for why Netflix might have been the best spot for it because you have the ability to rewind if you get confused. Like, wait, what happened here? Who's this person again? Not something we necessarily did with it, but yeah, like some incredible decisions on how to showcase who's inside whose body at any given time and when they decide to not tell you who's been swapped.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the characters all have really unique distinctions so that even when somebody is playing somebody else, it the characters are consistent throughout.
Yes.
Like the person who is Angie or whatever is Angie the whole time. You know what I mean? Like it's really great story writing for a movie that has like nine characters and you know who everybody is.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they're swapping through different actors is just a really great story writing.
Yeah, like I cannot give enough credit to every single person on screen in this movie for just being able to portray several different characters so easily.
Yeah, and it's crazy easily, too because this was just like a Netflix pickup, so it wasn't like it had Netflix money to fucking make this movie.
Yeah, and like the director, the writer-director, Greg Jardin, sort of, I don't want to say cut his teeth, but like, you know, became a Netflix figure by making promos and trailers and like supplemental material for them, like short films that would be used to like, promote new series.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a bit of a relationship with Netflix, but this movie went to Sundance, purely indie. They picked it up, but it started a huge bidding war, like despite not being in.
That makes me so happy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was one of the most expensive movies bought at Sundance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another indie success story, even though there's no box office receipts to count up.
Good stuff. So if you haven't watched that yet on Netflix, definitely check it out. Like, super fun. Also, it is in an art house. Like, it's got a lot of fun colors and weird set design and stuff. So you're just going to, like, enjoy it visually.
Oh,
It's set in that weird, like, is this a time period? Is this now? Or, like, where are we?
A lot of fun, quirky, like, camera techniques and decisions in that movie. It's great to look at.
So that's It's What's Inside.
All right. My number Eight pick. Osgood Perkins, Long Legs.
Wow.
I saw a lot of good movies this year.
Wow.
Also, I'm not here to shit on it. I liked Long Legs. It's definitely a vibe. Visually looked great. I think it's maybe a movie that connected to the easiest with Osgood Perkins. Not always a guy who makes the stuff that I'm falling in love with right away. Definitely helps when you hire Nicolas Cage as like a really weird satanic serial killer who's obsessed with T-Rex the band. Oh, the music in this movie kicks so much ass. One of the better looking movies of the year. Has some of the best scenes of the year.
Surprise, it's only your number eight then.
Well, it's because this movie also, I think...
I'm just saying what the audience is thinking, John.
Okay, well, you know what? Maybe it sounds like this movie might be on your list later on, so I'll reserve some of what else I want to talk
brief.
About. But... Don't you love a creepy puppet? Lots of good to say about this movie. A movie that I would expect is going to show up on a lot of people's best of 2024 list, including probably Kim's. So we'll leave it at that for now. Long Legs.
Okay, so my number seven. Another bit of an indie pick. This is a Shudder film. It's also French. The film is Mads.
Good movie.
And it is a found footage film. It's like a super high octane, chaotic. It's found footage, but we are running the whole time. If you really enjoyed the Rec series of films, or Record, depending on how you read REC, it's that same vibe. This is another movie that I don't want to spoil because the movie is the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And the chaos is better if you don't know where it's headed.
Yep.
And like Wreck, we're safe to say it's a zombie movie, but that's not what makes Wreck so good. It's that it is fast and furious and it has that adrenaline rush that you get from this being like a one night only, stuck in the city, shit is going down and we have to either escape or fight back. And that's what Mads is. And it's really great. Also, it's French and it's classy. And there's a lot of bike riding. And I don't know, you really go through Paris, which is crazy. I don't know how they shot this. Did they guerrilla shoot it? Did they shut streets down? Did they shoot it at 4:30 in the morning? I have no idea. But I thoroughly enjoyed this. This was a movie that John put on and I wasn't too keen on. And I was it was 10 minutes in. I just dropped everything I was doing. And I was what the fuck is this movie? Because it has me. I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, no, Mads was a lot of fun. Another surprise this year that I haven't seen a lot of people talking about. I think it's ripe for discovery. I think when people find it, they're gonna go nuts for it. Also, it's 89 minutes. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, and if you're keen on it, if you want to go watch it, go to Shudder, put it on. Don't even read the description on Shudder. Just go put it on. It's found footage. It's chaos. You're gonna enjoy it. That's Mads.
Mads.
Like Mickelson.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, my number seven pick, which honestly I think is very good back to back with my number eight. We're talking about Arkasha Stevenson's The First Omen. Another vibe heavy movie.
I don't know what's the top of John's list because I don't know what the fuck's happening in the bottom half of
John, John's you're
list.
Reading your list backwards.
John, you're taking all my movies.
Well, then I won't talk about it too much.
I'll just kick you whenever you do one of my future movies.
Okay, well, this is a fun little bit of something that I discovered while I was looking at that Box Office Mojo list. The First Omen made less money at the box office than The Strangers Chapter One.
Oh no!
Yep, that's right. Two of the most surprising, moments in cinema this year have been a horrifying birthing sequence in The First Omen, and also a disgusting cheeseburger that somebody eats in The Strangers Chapter One. Yeah, Arkasha Stevenson did the unthinkable, took a movie that I had absolutely zero interest in and made it one of the more visually arresting films of the year.
So much so that we did an episode on it. You can actually hear John talk about it for 40 minutes if you just go back in the feed a little bit.
Exactly. I don't want to talk too much about it also because there's a chance that it might pop up again later in this list. But
it
that's
might.
Arkasha Stevenson's The First Omen, my number seven pick.
Okay, so my number six pick, this is another one of those crunch time watches. You and I just kind of wanted to check it off the list, and it turned out to be absolutely one of my favorite movies of the year. And I don't think this one's going to be on your list because this is very much a Kim movie. And I don't know if you vibed with it as hard as I did while we were watching it, but the movie is The Devil's Bath.
Uh-huh.
It's a German-Austrian co-production, and it's based on a book, but it's based on true accounts of women in the 18th century in the 1700s in Germany who did suicide by murder, and they often murdered little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the character in the movie, Agnes, she is kind of an amalgamation of two women who, very true, murdered kids so that they could get murdered by the quote-unquote government. I don't know how much of a government there was back then, but...
Right. It's like the 14th century death by suicide by cop.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It is dark as fuck, and it is this kind of very folky horror, subtle, quiet movie where we're following this woman who is just trying to start her adult life. She gets married to a man who's definitely homosexual and doesn't love her. Doesn't love her romantically. I think we learn, you know, that he cares for her, but just not in the right way. She's got an overbearing mother. Work is too crazy. She can't do anything right.
Uh-huh.
And she does the unthinkable, and the world punishes her for it, but it's not really punishment. It's just one of those movies that just lingers in the gray area, and it's kind of romantic in a way. I don't know if you love goth stuff and sad women, you're gonna love this. It's super dark and haunting. It's a period piece. It's a little bit folk horror, dark history. Who doesn't love dark history?
This is on Kim's Mount Rushmore of Oblivion, Open Thy Arms. Yeah, no, this movie looks incredible, too, the cinematography.
Yeah, for the Wednesday Addams out there, this is in the top 10.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of natural lighting shot on location in forests, like low creeping fog across everything.
I just love a good period piece horror. We're in little stone cottages. I just love it.
Yeah,
there's so much muck.
it's from Veronica Franz and Severin Fiala, the filmmakers that made The Lodge and Goodnight Mommy. So, you know, super optimistic people who make really uplifting films.
I'm actually going to seek out the book that it's based on. It's Suicide by Proxy in Early Modern Germany, Crime, Sin, and Salvation by Kathy Stewart. I'm going to find that because that book is so up my alley.
Yeah, Kim also just bought a book about ectoplasm that she's been devouring, and the photographs in it are awesome.
There's two things I love. It's early modern seance ectoplasm and suicide by murder.
And like, I'm probably gonna butcher this name too, but like the performance and like the lead performance of this movie is wonderful. Incredible performance from Anja Plaschke, who was originally, I think you were telling me, she was originally the composer of the movie, and they had a completely different actress lined up, but scheduling conflicts, like right before production, that actress was no longer able to be in the movie, and she just stepped in.
It's crazy. I couldn't picture the film without her. She is the heart of the movie.
Incredible.
That's The Devil's Bath.
All right, so my number six. Another indie darling from the theatrical circuit. A movie that made a lot of money and, of course, had a headline reading, "Rakes in $666,000 at the opening weekend box office." It was Late Night with the Devil.
Oh my God, was that this year?
That was this year.
Oh no! Oh God!
Kim's top 10 now has 12 movies.
Oh no!
So there's the other problem, right? Like, that movie came out festival circuit in 2022, but only officially came out this year.
Okay, well, that's unofficially on my list. Asterisk, Kim also has it on her list. It just doesn't have a number value.
Which one you want to replace? You can do it right now.
None of them.
No, it's okay. You got a couple picks ahead of you. Go ahead and just take one off.
No,
I'm kidding. Okay, yeah, no, it's in spirit. This is a tandem pick from both Kim and myself.
Thank you.
We want to let you all know that if you haven't heard already, Late Night with the Devil's really fucking good.
We also talked about it this year. There's an episode for it.
Of course, we wanted to talk about a movie that we liked.
Satan and 70s vibe? vibes.
Oh my God.
How much of this list is Satan and 70s vibes?
There's so much brown and orange in like, this list.
Long legs, First Omen, Late Night with a Devil. Satan in the 70s, man.
Satan in the 70s, you know, he was at his peak in the 70s, I think.
I mean, he was kind of at his peak in the 80s in terms of fear, but 70s vibes are just cooler.
And, you know, depending on who you ask, also kind of at his peak in the 1600s.
Bell bottoms.
Great performer from David Dastmalchian. I mean, I think you've heard a lot about this movie. You know, definitely for fans of, like, Ghost Watch or WNUF, you know, like a really good sort of behind the scenes of the taping of a TV show where shit goes wrong. You know, we've got a character who's pulling out all the stops. It's set on fucking Halloween and Satan shows up. And, you know, we've just got like a whole bunch of kooky characters, some really great gory gags in the movie and plays with the found footage medium in like a really fun, interesting way.
Yeah, like I wouldn't say this movie is found footage, but it kind of plays in that space.
It's different. It's different approaches to shooting because, like, nobody's compiling this footage for the film. You know,
because
we're seeing newspaper clippings. We've got a voiceover from Michael Ironside at the beginning of the movie, which is
also
just a fucking tone setter.
Shit gets like dreamlike and chaotic at the end.
Yeah,
where like we're not literally watching what's happening.
We're clearly in a hallucination.
Yeah, like Satan has definitely taken over.
We ourselves watching the movie get hypnotized by somebody like James Randi.
That's great.
Oh yeah, it's a super fun pick. One of the best movies of the year for sure, and that's number six on my list.
It's number six on everybody's list.
On everybody's list, Late Night with the Devil.
I can't believe I missed that movie. In my head, it didn't come out this year.
You're like, oh, John made a mistake when he put this on the list.
We've just been talking.
What an idiot!
I feel like we've been talking about it for like 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely, we have been.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
I'm doing number five now.
Number five.
Okay, so this is another theatrical recent watch.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Smile 2.
Wow.
Yeah, this movie just really resonated with me. I think it was the sleek, you know, musical aspect. We're following a pop singer who just happens to be, you know, cursed with the smile demon.
Nope.
And it escalates the way the smile demon does. I was not a huge fan of the first Smile movie.
Yeah, I thought it was okay, but like not incredible,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and the fact that this one landed with me so well makes me want to go back and give the first movie another chance because it just, the curse itself worked for me more this time.
Mm.
They did a great job of passing it off, like how feasibly this person who's an insulated pop singer who's doing her like comeback tour after a very traumatic and chaotic past. She had problems with drugs. She got in an accident that killed her famous boyfriend. Like she's got a lot of trauma, right, for this demon to eat and chew on. But yeah, it was very, very fun. And it kind of fed me in a way that I wanted Trap to, and Trap didn't quite do it for me.
Yeah.
I liked Trap. We really got a lot of pop star horror this year.
Yeah, we sure did.
But Smile 2 really went a little extra, the extra mile for me this year, and I just thought it was fun.
I feel like I really missed like the best part of this movie too, because I was getting a haircut that went a little too long, so Kim went into the movie without me, and I missed
the
opening sequence.
I watched most of this movie by myself.
I mean, the
with
guy
a
did
bunch
a great
of 14
job.
Year olds who stole our original seats.
Isn't that always the way?
Yeah, the filmmaking in this movie is really great. And that's another thing from, like, I don't remember the first one, the camera work being so good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sweeping through the rooms and just, like, rotating slowly. And when, you know, there's creepy demons in the corner who, like, move like the fucking ghost in Mario, it's super effective.
Ghost in Mario.
And the opening sequence is, like, one continuous long shot. It's got Kyle Gallner in it, and we all love him. He's another great scream queen.
He is truly an unofficial scream queen. You know, it's funny, the cinematographer, Charlie Saroff, who shot Smile and Smile 2, also shot Relic, which we loved, and 2024's Night Swim.
Hmm.
Yeah, I do remember the
Night Swim was 2024?
Yeah, it came out in January.
Fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
This has been a long year.
They always are. Yeah, no, I did enjoy Smile 2 as well. Some of the scare sequences in that were great. I do remember Smile 1 looking very good and having good scare sequences. There's just something about it that, yeah, I'd like to go back and rewatch it too.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the finale. And the same as this one, like, I don't love...
You don't like when you see the big smile monster?
I don't love the creature's final form. Oh, like, I feel like the movie itself and how the creature functions is very scary.
Uh-huh.
And then in the finale, they go there, which credit for them for going there, but I'm like, this is a little silly. This is getting a little silly now.
It is a little silly.
I was scared, now I'm not. But that smile, too, definitely a nice surprise for me this year and a fun theatrical experience. I was John Free for a bit of it.
Kim got to eat all that popcorn by herself. No wonder she had, like, the time of her life. All right, my number five, a movie that has actually already come up on this list. Mads.
Oh, shit!
Yeah, I really, really, really liked Mads, man.
I talk about it all the time, and you never say anything. I just assumed you didn't vibe with it as much, but you vibed with it more.
We're busy, man. Like, we just have shit to... You're like,
we just don't talk to each other unless there's a microphone in front of us.
That's the new rule, yeah. We travel on different buses. We don't talk unless there's microphones. We gotta uphold the image, at least, right? But yeah, behind the scenes, it's real quiet around here. Mads, love this goddamn movie. I'm gonna correct you a little bit. I don't know if it's actually a found footage film. I think it's just a really shaky camera.
It's vibes of found footage.
Okay, sure. No, aesthetically found footage, yeah. Like, the gimmick of this movie, which is definitely what everybody's talking
about.
Yeah,
is there a camera in the movie? I guess you're right.
It's one continuous shot is the thing.
So good.
It's like a live play that you're watching that takes place all across the city. It's not like, ooh, this is all one shot and it's in two rooms.
No, there's bikes in it.
We're
lots
traveling to multiple
moped
locations. Yeah, there's a moped. There's Dad's Mustang. Like, we're buying a weird drug at the beginning and then we're driving through the countryside to get back home so we can do more drugs and hang out with our friends because it's our birthday.
And we follow different characters, which is so great.
Yes.
It's like a relay race.
Yeah, so the inciting incident of this
of
movie
horrors
is that we've got this kid who's, like, high on cocaine and some other new weird drug that his drug dealer has given him. And then, like, while he's driving home, he accidentally hits this girl who looks like she's escaped from some sort of institution. And she
some
is...
Some sketchy hospital.
Some very sketchy hospital. And she's, like, begging for help. And, you know, he agrees to take her into town as long as they don't call the cops, basically. And, like, on the way there, she's just freaking out. And she ends up killing herself inside his car. And so the rest of the movie, like, at the beginning of the movie... It's just him complete. You're absolutely
right. Don't talk anymore.
I should not talk necessarily anymore about the rest of the movie, but
shush.
It evolves and devolves and, yeah, follows multiple characters and is just a great example of how quickly everything can go to shit.
Yeah, I feel like Wreck is the best comparison for this movie.
Absolutely.
Even though Wreck is like a one building movie, they have that same, like, high octane adrenaline. Shit's fucked.
Yeah, this is a crazy good pick. I'm so surprised more people aren't talking about it. And it's on Shudder right now. Please go check it out. I think you're going to love it. It's called Mads.
All right, so we are in top five territory. We're going to start having a lot of overlap.
Well, that was my number five.
I know.
Oh,
we're in overlap territory.
I was
leading in to my number four pick, The First Omen.
Okay.
Which has come up already.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about this one all year. We've been singing its praises.
Yeah.
We've seen it a few times now. We saw it in theaters, and I'm so happy we did.
That Dolby Atmos theater.
It's a fucking gorgeous movie, uh-huh. And it is grown-up goth. And that is what I'm hoping so much for with Nosferatu, that,
oh,
like,
yeah,
gothic opulence. if we don't get it in Nosferatu, if Nosferatu surprisingly does not deliver, I got it in The First Omen. The First Omen is just a visual feast. It had a great score. The lead actress, what's her name? Nell Tigerfree. Haha, I remembered it without you having to look it up.
Nailed it.
She is fantastic. And it's such a feat for her because she's playing like Spawn of Satan / about to be a nun. Like how you can balance those two things and be believable at different points. She does a fantastic job. I loved her in this.
Incredible. Yeah.
And 70s Satan vibes, y'all.
There's a dude who gets cut in half with a car.
Loved it. Loved it.
Yeah, no, this is definitely an example of, trippy, hallucinatory visual storytelling that doesn't always land. Like, where, pretty often I'm rolling my eyes when I talk about a movie being a vibe, but, like, Arkasha Stevenson does an incredible job making this a vibe.
This movie was just yummy to watch. Yes. It was just yummy to look at.
Absolutely.
Spooky yummy.
It suffers a little bit from the, continuity.
Prequelitis.
The prequelitis of it all. If this was its own original story, I think it would have been incredible. But, whatever. A lot of people went to go see it because it had the word omen in it.
Don't listen to what Ralph Ineson is saying. Just listen to his voice.
Oh, so you can also just check out the last 5 minutes of the movie, like where it starts to tie into the original. Like, you're like, we're good.
We got to go hand this baby off to a movie that came out 40 years ago.
You're like, I'm going to go beat traffic. I'm going to get in the car and leave now. Like when you leave before the encore of a band.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, but like, really,
gotta get out of the parking lot before all the cars come.
Rad pick. Some fun deaths in this movie. Great moments of horror. Definitely the better female body autonomy, evil church movie of the year.
Yeah, we've been having a lot of female body autonomy horrors because of the Roe vs. Wade. Like, we've just been getting a lot of Immaculate Conception movies.
Yeah.
Immaculate Devil Conception movies. Uh-huh. And
none of them really immaculate conceptions. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. The devil works differently.
Yeah.
And The First Omen, I think, is the best of the bunch.
Yeah, it made it a little bit higher on your list than I was expecting, but I'm also not surprised at all.
It was just fucking good.
You're like, what's that? Boney M's on the soundtrack?
I know, I almost said it. I was like, and they had a Boney M bump. The 70s, baby.
All right, so that was Kim's number four pick, The First Omen. My number four pick, doing a French double feature here.
Ooh.
The Vordalak. A movie that...
I am not surprised.
No, of course, right?
Not surprised.
This movie's got a life-size puppet, like a whole-ass marionette that's a full person that's emaciated and definitely undead.
This is for you if you don't get what you want out of Nosferatu. At least you got it in the Vordalak.
Thank you very much. You're absolutely right. We both have different camps that we can root for. No matter what happens with Nosferatu, our cuppeth run over.
I got my Orlok.
The Vordalak is so fucking good. It's super French. It's very period. I'm pretty certain it's shot on film with old lenses. It has an incredible quality to it. It really does look like a movie that was beamed here from like the 30s, and they've colorized it.
Except for the puppet.
The puppet is amazing, though. Like, I do like. So the idea here is that we have this French nobleman who's lost on the countryside
with the best blush.
Yes, he's such a pathetic little character. I love him so much, though. And he, is looking for help. He finds his way to this hidden away house on the countryside. And this family is here awaiting the arrival of their father, who has left. And he's instructed the family that if he comes back, if he doesn't come back within 5 days, then he's dead. But if he comes back after 5 days and he knocks on the door, do not let me in, because I will have become a monster. I will be a Vordalak. And who fucking knows what that means, but it's so ominous, and it's just this great little like urban legend-y opening for this movie. And surprise, surprise, dad shows up just a little too late, and maybe there's something wrong with him. And
he's a puppet!
He is this giant creepy puppet, like a horror nightmare reject from the Henson Corporation, and it's so creepy, skeletal looking. Is definitely for the silent film fans, for the Muppet fans.
The puppet acting is really good.
Yeah, no, this is one for the weirdos, guys. Check it out. It's called The Vordalak.
I'm so glad it made it as high on your list, because it's definitely in my honorable mentions, but I knew it was going to be on your list.
You know, it's so funny, too, you're talking about, like, how you've got, like, your, you know, you've got the first omen if the Nosferatu doesn't line up. The Vortilak is actually one of the earliest vampire stories we have. It's based on an original story called The Family of the Vortilak, which was written by a Russian author, and it came out before Dracula.
I love the name Vortilak.
Isn't that rad?
I feel like we should start adapting that as a subspecies of vampire.
Yeah, so like, oh, I love vampire.
You have your rock stars, your Lestats, then you have your Vortilaks, your puppets.
Okay, so Kermit is a Vortilak.
Kermit's a total Vortilak. Okay, so we are in top three territory. We are... Now, there's been a couple big movies that haven't come up, so I'm interested to see if they make your list.
Maybe.
We're running out of titles.
It's been a weird year.
Okay, so my number three has come up already. Oh. Somebody put it way too far down on their list.
Eh, that depends
who
you ask.
Osgood Perkins' Long Legs. We saw this one a few times in theaters, because the first time I was like, I feel like I missed a lot.
Yeah, same.
There were a lot of hidden Satans I missed. A lot of devil horns that were in the background that I did not catch the first time, and that you still have not caught some of them.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm just like, did you see that? You're like, no.
I was eating popcorn, drinking soda, thinking about stuff.
I have always been a huge fan of Osgood Perkins' visual style. He makes a beautiful movie.
Oh, yeah.
We have been on board with his stuff since the I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House. I didn't understand
it. I love that goddamn movie.
Visually, fucking enjoyed it. Just his stuff is always just spooky and quiet and subtle, and the cinematography is always banging and on point. And this has got another, you know, like brown 70s vibes. If you like wood paneling, you're going to love Long Legs.
Uh-huh.
It's got an unrecognizable Nick Cage, which is like saying something, because Nick Cage is an actor that is hard to hide.
Yeah.
His makeup is great. His performance is great. You already said all of the T-Rex is fantastic, and it's just a great supernatural crime thriller, and we haven't had that in a very long time. Like, kind of a subgenre that's died. We've been needing it. Like, I love me a crime thriller, and a fictional serial killer. We don't get enough of that. This definitely hit the spot for me in, like, a type of movie that we just don't get
it. We really don't. Yeah. Like, it's definitely a lot like something like Seven, you know? Like, it's...
Yeah, Zodiac. Even, like, exactly. Silence of the Lambs. Yep. Like, I miss those movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I remember hearing Osgood Perkins reference all of them in all of the interviews he was talking about. Because, yeah, we don't really get them anymore. I am also very excited to rewatch this movie because of all the Satans that I definitely missed. There's also just, like, some weird imagery and foreshadowing. Like,
and we got it on 4K, so we're going to see those Satans in clear detail.
Exactly, but because of November being like the catch-up month, we don't really have time to rewatch stuff we've already watched
twice.
I
have to say, though, November is a very good Long Legs month. It feels a November movie.
Absolutely.
It feels like it's set in November.
So the thing that stopped me, and I really thought that this was going to be like a number five or a number six pick for you, so I was like, oh, you know, no big deal. I'll bring this
top
up
three, baby.
Yeah, so this feels like the wrong time to talk about some of the stuff that like held me back from truly loving it, but there is something that Long Legs and Osgood Perkins do in this movie that
Long Legs the character?
Well, no, sorry, that Long Legs does, and okay. That Osgood Perkins does in the movie, that Heretic also does, where they give their lead character so much focus and attention and importance, and we believe them, and they're charismatic, and everything that they're saying is true and powerful and scary, and then we kind of in the background just make them weak and pathetic without like as much attention as I would have expected. Like, it's almost like at some point the movie forgets about Long Legs the character, and at the end of it we're supposed to go, oh right, he's just a loser, you know, like the way that we're kind of supposed to have that impression about, say, Charles Manson or Ted Bundy. Like, we all have this, not reverence, but there is a way that we talk about serial killers that makes them feel like rock stars, but we do have to remind them
they're
ourselves.
Cool but pathetic.
Exactly, like they're just sad assholes, you know, they're just losers. And I just feel like they build up so much about this character, and then they kind of abandon him halfway through.
It's funny you say that, because I feel like the first half of the movie is my preferred half of the movie, because we start to get in like, oh, and he was doing this big grand thing with dolls and stuff, and I'm just like, yeah,
And the importance of the, like, there's the, all these
letters. They're creepy looking.
These creepy letters. We've got to solve the letters. And you're like, the letters don't mean anything.
Yeah, letters aren't important.
Like, it's just, so much of it is just like, oh, that's not, that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, they look cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's been bored for 30 years. Of course he was going to write some letters.
We got to go on a spooky goose chase. This is a crime thriller, goddammit.
Also, have you learned that, you probably have because you're on the internet a little more than I am, but have you learned that the girl at the hardware store is Osgood Perkins' daughter?
I did.
So it's just like, dad, that weird guy's in here again. Like, it makes it even better.
One thing I do like about the movie too, before we can move on, is just that it doesn't have too much long legs. It doesn't have too much Nicolas Cage.
That's true.
Because that character is a lot. It's a vacuum. It sucks up the whole room. We do not get an overabundance of it because he is very silly, and that's just by his zany. He's mad. He's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Too much of him would have changed the tone of the film, and they use him just enough. And he's framed very well. We don't see his face a lot. He's cut out, so he's super ominous. Like, when we see him in the beginning and we only get his shoulders, you're like, fuck no.
Yeah, no, that opening's great. It was also fun to watch that like a week or two before your birthday. It's fun to see the almost birthday girl put that in her top three.
So good. That's long legs.
So my number three.
What is it?
A movie that I'm really worried at this point is not going to show up on your list. I really thought it would have already. But my number three is Oddity.
It's not on my list.
God damn it. God, don't you love a creepy mannequin?
I do.
I really didn't expect me to have these giant mannequin movies.
I cannot believe how high it is on your list. It's in my honorable mentions. That was a creepy mannequin.
This is one of the creepiest goddamn movies of the year. And it all boils down to just rock solid writing, great atmosphere. Like, the scares of this movie are very subtle and subdued, but the way that the characters talk about the setting and what's happening, it just completely sucked me in. It was like an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
So I agree with you here, and this is where my kind of like what stopped me from putting it in the top 10 is it felt like part one in a three-part short story. Like,
I hope we get those. Like, I hope we get part two and part three.
Tales from the Crypt Keeper, a creep show.
That's okay. I mean, if you're unfamiliar with it, Oddity follows a character who is blind. She's played by Carolyn Bracken. So she plays dual roles. She is one of a twin. And her twin was murdered a year ago. And so she has come to the house that her dead sister and her brother-in-law had bought where she was murdered. And she owns an oddity shop. And she brings this giant wooden mannequin that was apparently owned by a witch.
This giant wooden monster.
Yes. He's so fucking creepy looking.
Terrifying eyes.
Uh-huh. And so she's there with the intention of solving her sister's murder. Like, there is a person who has been pinned for this murder, who's been convicted of it, is currently in a mental institution. He's criminally insane, but she doesn't believe that he is the person who actually killed her sister, and she's there now to get to the bottom of things. And yeah, it's just, you know, murder most foul, spooky, maybe supernatural stuff happening, and just some incredible dialogue, wonderful screenplay from a director who made it's written and directed by Damian McCarthy, who also did Caveat that came out a couple years ago. Like, really subtle stuff, really great indie horror filmmaking. You know, if you like dialogue driven stuff and some late night scares, I really highly recommend you check out Oddity.
I'm glad that you enjoyed that so much. It's visually one of the creepiest movies of the year.
Hell yeah. You screamed so loud.
That mannequin fucked me up.
So the movie scared Kim so much that she won't even put it on her top 10.
Scared me out of loving it. All right, so number two. I wonder if, is this going to be your number one?
That's
is this going to be your number two? I don't know. I'm going to go with The Substance.
I'll go ahead and say right now, this is also my number two.
Okay, cool. All right, let's do it. Let's tandem our number twos.
I haven't wanted to talk about this movie so goddamn much.
I think that means our number one is the same.
That probably means our number one's the same.
That's very cool.
That's okay. We also both had a Late Night with the Devil on our list.
Oh, we did. In the same spot.
In the exact same spot.
I knew I was going to vibe with this. Demi Moore.
Right. Say no more.
Love her in horror. Love her here. She's playing, you know, like a fitness guru who's aging out of the job. And she just wants her youth back. She just wants, you know, that eternally youthful, vivacious life that she's been living. And, you know, she looks fantastic for her age. And but it's the for her age that she does not want anymore.
Exactly.
And she gets this opportunity to try the substance, which is this neon green, aesthetically pleasing, but underexplained serum that she has to take.
I think perfectly explained serum. Thank you very much.
And she becomes a double. She has a young, hot version of herself named Sue who climbs out of her back.
Oh, God, it's cool.
They share a life. They get 7 days on and 7 days off, and you cannot go over the time. So, of course, we're going to go over the time.
Of course.
And body horrors happen, but it is just like a combination of like lime green, hot pink, leg warmers, and butts and body horror.
Yeah.
It is a monster of a film.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And I fucking loved every minute of it.
It's...
It is an infomercial gone wild.
It is actually maybe like the perfect me and you movie because it is so gross and so gorgeous.
Yeah, it's aesthetically pleasing and then horrible.
Yeah, it's so good. It's like Freaked or Basket Case and Death Becomes Her. You know, like that is the mashup of this movie. Watching it, you can't help just imagine that it's Jane Fonda. Like, that's who I'm only thinking about watching the movie. But it's also, it's Demi Moore. Demi Moore's incredible.
What a perfect role for her. And I cannot believe she went as bonkers, like in this bonkers movie.
She really went for it. Yeah.
I love this movie. And the reason why it's at the top of my list is because I think it's one of the most rewatchable movies of the year.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be watching this movie for a long time.
Incredible soundtrack, right?
This movie is going to have longevity. It's fun. It's fun to watch. It's gross. It's gorgeous. There's so many different things to appreciate in it that... It's going to have a life.
I'll also say this, like, I don't know if this is how most people have been talking about it. It's definitely maybe not how people are discussing it on horror podcasts, but truly, I think, funniest movie of the year. Like, hands down, I was cackling watching this movie, especially Dennis Quaid's character. Absolutely hysterical.
The fucking shrimp scene.
Oh, man, watching him eat that fucking shrimp. He is the funniest character of the year. Like, they're like, honestly.
Don't give Dennis Quaid that much credit.
I think, well, it's not like he wrote the movie, you know? Like,
I just hate him.
You're supposed to hate him.
I know.
But goddamn, is he funny. You know? Like, he is basically just like a dick and balls that talks. That's maybe not the best way to describe it.
No, it's pretty good.
Yeah, like, best comedies of the year. Hundreds of Beavers and The Substance. Like, that is...
Sneak your Hundreds of Beavers in here.
I guess you gotta let the world know. If they haven't heard already, it's so good.
Put it on your list then, damn it.
There's nothing spooky about it. Yeah, no, The Substance. Goddamn, what an incredible movie.
Yeah.
I think this is gonna... I've seen this on a lot of people's lists for best of the year.
Yeah, and like, I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen it, but there is some creature design in this movie that is, you know, like, second to none. It is... Best gross of the year.
Yeah, I am very much looking forward.
And it's in a dress.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know that's a spoiler, but it's the best thing about the movie.
I am very much looking forward to rewatching this movie on New Year's Eve. That is kind of where I've been holding out my rewatch for.
I think it's a great New Year's Eve movie.
New
Year, new you.
I think right now it's maybe only streaming on Mubi as soon as this movie is available physical. It's like, I mean, maybe it's about out now. Maybe
also, just what it looks like, it's going to have such a great collector's edition.
Yeah.
You are one, and there's going to be... It's going to be a great addition.
I am literally just like waiting for waiting to give myself permission to buy it on vinyl. Like, you can get the soundtrack right now and it's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Just like, you are one. And like, the fucking soundtrack in this movie is incredible. Like, not only does it have like really great bass heavy synth shit, it's also pulling in scores from other movies. Like, there's some needle drops from, I think, from Vertigo in this movie. Like, it's also hysterical and has some of the saddest scenes of the year. Like, there are some really heartbreaking moments with Demi Moore.
Oh, when she's supposed to go on a date and then she doesn't
because
she doesn't feel pretty that day. I fucking vibed with that. Some days I'm just like, I'm too ugly to live.
But I could also, for like 100 years, watch her as just like this witch character, just like eating food in her fucking kitchen.
She was all of us during the pandemic. She's like, I love love to cook now.
Oh, man. Some of the, yeah, just like one of the best theater going experiences of the year. We did this on a double with Never Let Go, which was so wild. That Halle Berry movie, and then walking into
that
this.
Halle Berry with a rope movie.
That's exactly how everybody's describing it. Yeah, The Substance. What a wonderful movie.
Yay. All right, so you can go next with your number one, I guess.
No, we agreed that, oh yeah, that's right. I was going to have the final word, no matter what. But yeah, number one, I think for the both of us, Tillman Singer's Cuckoo.
Yep.
God, what a good movie. I feel like I've just like put out all the energy I have for The Substance, but like, holy shit, Cuckoo, guys.
I knew I was going to love this movie from the beginning. The trailer was weird. It gave you nothing and it gave you everything. And you're like, this is going to be weird. And it is weird.
And we get a creepy Dan Stevens, like a mad scientist.
Dan Stevens at his peak. You know, this has been the year that I have finally caved and given in to Dan Stevens.
You've held back for so long. Even this year, you've held back
so
long.
I don't know. I really liked him in, what was it? Was it Godzilla versus Kong that he was in?
Where Godzilla he was like, X Kong. Thank
where
you very
he was
much.
Like the dentist or whatever.
Yeah, he's basically the dentist.
And he started to win me there. And you know, he's been in horror movies for a while. And I was just like, you know, I got guys, I just don't get Dan Stevens. Like, he's got this weird, quirky thing where it's like he doesn't lose himself in the role. And then this, he's like playing a goddamn flute. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah. And he's just waxing weird about cuckoo birds.
He's such a weirdo, and yeah. I love it.
Yeah, also, just like Tillman Singer, what an incredible filmmaker. Ugh. Like, Neon did such a great job programming our summer this year. They gave us Long Legs, then they gave us Cuckoo. You know, this was such a weird July and August, and just maybe one of the best written movies of the year.
I love that I could see this in my local theater.
Yeah.
This movie is so weird and so odd and just off the wall, oddball film that the fact that I went to the movie, bought a ticket, was able to eat my commercial popcorn,
yeah,
and watch this like bird horror movie
at a multiplex.
Loved it.
Yeah, this was an art house film, you know? Like, we should not have been able to see this with the general public. We should have only been able to see it at, like, in another world, we would have only been able to see this at like a film festival or at like our tiny little art house theater, you know, where they only screen like Boonwell films or something, you know, like, oh, we're doing a restoration this year on you know, Tarkovsky, like that kind of stuff. Like, that's where we would expect to see a movie like Cuckoo. No, we got to see this in a multiplex where the guy beside me was burping the whole movie while eating sausages filled with sauerkraut and onions.
And he kept saying sorry.
Yeah, he kept bleep, sorry,
like, just don't eat it in here.
He was there by himself. He definitely brought two sausages, because throughout the movie he just kept taking little bites out of a sausage and then putting it back down in like his little tray holder. So like, I think he brought a second backup sausage, and I kind of loved him. Like,
I mean, it's the movie to do it, I guess.
It was so fucking funny. Yeah, this movie's got some of the weirdest sequences. An incredible monster.
Yeah.
That has just like such a weird look to it.
Well, and just also how it's unveiled and how the story is told. It is a great, like, mystery.
Yeah.
You don't quite understand what's happening. And it is kind of the thing you suspect, but you're not let down. You're always surprised.
Yeah.
And the story comes together in, like, the most harmonious way. It's a combination of scary, mysterious, and it's got heart. Hunter Schafer is amazing in it.
Oh, my God.
Her little sister in it is fantastic. The story is just good all around.
Absolutely.
The scares are good. The monsters are good. The lead is believable and lovable and watchable. It is just excelling on all levels.
Yeah, like an incredibly built finale as well that is honest and true to each of its characters.
And resonates.
And has the most psychedelic editing, like, to explain the powers of this villain.
Yeah, and at first you're like, wait, what's going on
here? I think the movie's
like,
broken.
Are we in a time loop? Like, yeah. What's happening? It's great. It's so good. And the monster visually is great. It's a woman in like a trench coat who's got a weird mouth and has a terrible wig.
It looks like an alien come to planet Earth who's trying to blend in.
Yeah, definitely like an X-Files episode gone wrong.
Yeah, I could talk about this movie for another hour.
Dan Stevens plays a flute.
Dan Stevens plays, I think it's a recorder actually.
Whatever.
But yeah, there's just like some stuff in this movie that you will not see anywhere else. You know, it's true about a lot of the movies on our top 10 actually. But one that I was really surprised did not hit with as many people as I thought it would. This has been a... I had nothing to do with this movie, but it's been frustrating to, like, look at some of the reviews.
I'm an advocate for Cuckoo.
Yeah, basically. Like, there's so many people
who are messaging
just...
people in Letterboxd, like, I see you didn't love Cuckoo. Any reason why? Will you be voting for Cuckoo this year on November 4th?
But yeah, it's definitely... a movie that we had been looking forward to, had been trying to avoid the trailers of, like, you know, like Long Legs, like so many other movies this year. But a movie that absolutely gave nothing away in those trailers and really fucking delivered. Like, this is so strange and so out there. And I am super excited to see what Tillman Singer comes up with.
I'm so stoked for... So stoked for him. I want more.
Yeah. Like if you haven't seen his debut feature, Luz, you gotta check it out. It's one of the best sort of demon possession movies we've seen the last
little while.
It's weird,
and it's like 70 minutes.
Yeah, it's super short. It was a art school, or it was a film school project that they submitted into film festivals, and I think you can watch it on Shudder right now. It's shot on film. It's got a great synth soundtrack. And yeah, like, I really do think that, like, the weirdos who are making, like, the best modern movies right now, like Osgood Perkins and Jordan Peele or Robert Eggers, like, I think Tillman Singer should absolutely be in those
conversations. I'm like, get in there, Tillman, get in there.
Yeah, Coralie Farge, is that how you pronounce her name? The director of The Substance?
I didn't say it because I didn't know how. Written, edited, and co-edited. Like, the fact that she co-edited The Substance is kind of fantastic. I mean, but I'm glad you attempted to say her name, because I was like, I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, no, that movie, like, so much of what's so great about that movie is the editing. Sorry, I'm starting to talk about The Substance again. But yeah, like, I'm really happy with my top three. Yours is all right.
Rude.
But that was Cuckoo, our number one movie of the year.
I knew the second I saw it that it was going up there.
Oh yeah. Well,
I was like, well, I saw my favorite movie of the year already.
Yeah. Well, the thing about November though is that it's always got some surprises. And like for you, The Devil's Bath made its way on there. I had a feeling. I could tell halfway through the movie that it was just like, oh, this is...
You're like, oh, Kim's gone. I've lost Kim.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this is all right. Like it came out earlier in the year. We were a little busy when it came out, but like I threw it on the watch list for later on. I also kind of felt like it wasn't going to be my vibe, but I was like, eh, Kim will probably like this one. I could not have been more right.
Yeah, my biggest surprise this year was definitely Smile 2.
Oh, yeah.
It was just such a great theater experience, and I really appreciated the cinematography, and I love me pop star horror. I guess it's just a new thing for me. Pop star horror is it.
So when you saw The First Omen, did it hit with you like right away? Like, was that the first movie this year where you were like, oh, this is going on the top 10?
The First Omen? Yeah, for sure. I was okay. Like, wow! This was goth.
I really enjoyed it. It wasn't until we watched it a second time that I was like, you know what? This is a really fucking solid movie.
The moment for me was when her one night stand dude got like severed in half by that car. Yeah. I was like, well, this is going on the top 10. When she was holding that top half of a guy.
I'd say like The Vordalak is maybe the first movie we watched that I absolutely fell in love with.
You pulled out your notes app and you were like, Vordalak number one.
That's how it started. So like I usually like in the middle of the year start putting together my best of the year to keep track of everything.
I do everything 10 minutes before we're supposed to record, which is why I didn't realize that Late Night with the Devil should have been on my fucking list.
That's okay. Yeah, no. So it was like The Vordalak, and then every movie that came on had to compete with it. And then yeah, as soon as Cuckoo came in, I was like, good luck everybody else. Like, I don't know that you're going to beat this one.
I felt that way as soon as we watched Cuckoo. We might have said it. We were like, well, top 10 list has some tough challengers.
I will say halfway through The Substance, though, I was like, shit, goddamn, Cuckoo, you might want to watch out.
It was a very close top two. But same, I think they're a great top two because they're both very weird, but very well-written stories. Yep. Like, complete stories that are ambitiously strange.
And I think they are approachable. Like, I think you could put them on and somebody would be like, oh, I know what kind of movie this is going to be. And then you're like, oh, wait, what the fuck's happening now?
Like, weird enough that your friends would be like, what the fuck am I watching? But not too weird that they would get up and leave and not be your friend anymore.
I don't know about that. It's possible. It's definitely possible.
Well, hopefully they'd still be your friend. But yeah, so that has been our top 10 of 2024, minus Nosferatu, because we have not seen it yet.
But it's probably on the list.
It's definitely going on the list.
I mean, those early reactions, man. This is, we got 1,000 real rats with Willem Dafoe. Can't go wrong.
Real rats, John?
That's
real
right. Practical rats? Like, we've gone so heavy into practical now that we're using real rats again.
Honestly, if that, just that moment from the trailer where Orlok's hands are shadows going over the town is in the movie for more than 3 seconds, it's probably getting my number one spot.
Oh, absolutely.
Visually, I just ate that up.
Uh-huh.
And it's Nosferatu. Like, how can you not?
Yeah, and unless
and
we
hate
coat.
It. And his coat. He's got a great coat.
Unless we hate it, which I highly doubt. Robert Eggers.
Have you seen that popcorn bucket?
the coffin? That's a popcorn. It is not a popcorn bucket. It is a coffin that they're putting
it
popcorn in for you.
It is a popcorn tomb.
I cannot wait for it. And we're probably going to be recording a Drive Home from the Drive-In review of that over in the Patreon if you want to check it out. We'll be back again soon to talk about some other movies we loved this year in the feed. But in the meantime, we'd love to hear what your favorite movies of 2024 were. Hit us up on social media, wherever you're listening to this. Hit us up on
social media. Sucks right now. Hit us up on Discord.
Honestly, it's usually like a soft ramp up to talking about Discord. Hit us up on Discord.
Discord is the real place. There's no algorithms there.
That's the best way to sell it.
It's nofspodcast.com/Discord. There's only like 1,000 of us, so like people will, if you write something, somebody will actually read it and respond.
That's right.
It's not a big, like, you throw something in the ether and nobody sees it.
It's only filled with horror fans.
And we don't do politics in there.
No, absolutely not. I will delete it and then consider banning you.
Thank you so much for listening to Nightmare on Film Street in 2024. We hope you had an amazing year, or at least a year filled with amazing horror, even if it was a shitty year.
That's all you can really count on, right? A year with good horror.
We had such a dope year. We have a book out now that came out at the end of November. If you haven't grabbed it yet, go grab Cocktails from the Crypt. Ask for it for Christmas. Buy it for your friends. Go to your bookstore and be like, where the fuck is Cocktails from the Crypt? And if they don't have it, tell them they need 10 copies. But yeah, thank you so much for supporting Nightmare on Film Street and listening to the show and, you know, like chatting with us on social media and hanging out and just, you know, enjoying horror movies. Horror is the best genre ever, and we're the best people ever. Horror fans, us.
Yeah, no, it has been a wild year. I can't wait to see what 2025 brings and all. Like, mostly just horror movies. Like, you know, in 2025, guaranteed our car is going to break down or some dumb bullshit like that.
I mean, our fridge broke this week, so that's been fun.
Something's always falling apart. Hopefully next year it's not us, but we'll be back again soon to talk about more horror movies. And until then, I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Do you like horror movies? Do you like cocktails? Do you like cocktails while you watch horror movies?
Oh boy, do we have a surprise for you. Cocktails from the Crypt is finally here. You can get a copy of our new recipe book, 60 Terrifying Concoctions, inspired by your favorite horror movies, right now, wherever books are sold.
Learn how to make the Drag Mai Tai to Hell, the Negroni Namakon.
Surprise your friends with a Jason X-inspired slushy.
Get sloshed drinking a Texas Chainsaw Margarita, or six.
And why not blow your brains at the back of your head with the Killbot Kamikaze? Thank you. Have a nice day.
You can learn how to drink. You can. You can learn how to make these drinks and more in Cocktails from the Crypt, available wherever books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, this infomercial bit has been really fun, but seriously, one, thank you so much to everybody who has pre-ordered a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. And if you are looking for a gift for the horror person in your life and you have no idea what else to get them, Cocktails from the Crypt is here to help them punch up every Friday movie night and turn it into a graveyard smash.
Plus, the cover's embossed and it looks great on your coffee table.
No, oh, Kim's still stuck in infomercial land, guys. I'm sorry. I think she's gone forever.
It's purple.
You can get Cocktails from the Crypt right now, wherever books are sold. Or you can head over to nofspodcast.com/go. There's links for everything.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit 2, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.